Hello, thank you for joining us today. We invite you to connect with us on all our social media outlets. Now, let's go to the message.
That's one of the reasons I love being filled with God's Spirit, is that I always have a Christ influence in my life. It's influencing my decision-making, the way I talk, the way I deal with people. It influences my relationship, influences my money, influences the purpose and ministry that God has planted me in. But I want to encourage you to make sure that you are always being influenced by the power and the Spirit of God. Influence literally means the action or process of producing effects on three distinct areas of life: your actions, your behavior, and your opinions. Actions is what you do. We have coined that term, this series, holy habits. How many of you want to have holy habits? A habit is something that comes very natural to you. And so just when something happens, that habit kicks in. And then we talked about behaviors. We talked about righteous reflexes. Reflexes is when there is something internally or externally that happens, but there is a reflex that comes along with that thing. A righteous reflex means instead of four-letter words coming out of our mouth when bad things show up, prayer comes out of our mouth. The name of Jesus as a strong tower comes out of our mouth. And finally, he said, when we have influence, it changes our opinions. When we said yes to Jesus, church, our opinions died with the old man and the old woman. The flesh that we used to live under, that subjection, we no longer live under. And so our opinions died, and now our life is governed by the Word of God and the Spirit of God. Somebody should say amen. You know why we should say amen? It's a good thing that our lives are no longer determined by our flesh. Because our flesh will make you marry the wrong one. Our flesh will make you do the wrong thing at the wrong time. But the Spirit of God changes everything. Before you can influence or become a person of influence, you must be influenced. And it is very important for us to realize that all of us are under the influence of something. Some of us are under the influence of the Spirit of God. It is evident in what we talk about, how we talk about it, and the words that literally come out of our mouths. But some of us, we are influenced by culture. Some of us are influenced by Hollywood and Hollywood's elite. Some of us are influenced by singers and entertainers, which I don't know why we would, but a lot of us are influenced by a lot of outside influences. So if you think you're not being influenced, that's a dangerous place to be, because now you don't know how you're being influenced or what is influencing you. You just now know that something is determining your behavior, your opinions, and your actions. We go all the way back to Adam and Eve in the garden, in a perfect place, yet they find themselves talking to the wrong influence. Adam and Eve, church, did not fall into sin. Have you ever heard that phrase, well, they just fell into sin, or I have fallen into sin? No one falls into sin. You jump into sin. The devil doesn't even push you into sin. It is a choice that we make every day to jump into something that is less than God wants for our lives. And Adam and Eve are influenced by the wrong person. 1 Corinthians 15:33, do not be deceived or misled. Bad company corrupts good character. Character is who you really are, not who the person across the aisle thinks you are on a Wednesday night during a worship service. Your character is exposed when someone cuts you off in traffic. Your character is exposed when someone cusses you out. Your character is exposed when you got to wait more than 8 minutes in the Whataburger line. Your character is exposed when a pink slip shows up. Your character is exposed when all hell breaks loose. And this is what the Word of God says: do not be deceived, but the company and influence around you affects who you really are. Who you are behind closed doors, not just out in public. God asked Adam three questions. It's where we left off last week. Where are you? That's your position. Who have you been talking to? That's the people you've surrounded yourself with. And what have you been doing? That is your performance. Those three things, they affect the influence in your life. Where are you? See, tonight choosing to come to a Bible-believing, Spirit-filled church, it doesn't matter the hellacious week you've been having or the best week you've been having, but being here tonight is influencing you with the Spirit of God, the presence of God, and the Word of God. There was some people that were planning on being here tonight, but they are not in the room. They are letting the NBA influence them. You know, last night, I thought it was odd. Spurs win the number one pick again. And San Antonio is acting just like we did when we won the championship. Hold on. Wimby, we don't even know if he's going to pan out. I think he is, but I've been wrong before. He could be the next Darko Milicic. He could be the next Michael Olowokandi. And you're saying, who's that? That's my point exactly. Former number one picks. But they were acting crazy, and nothing has even happened yet. But there are people all over San Antonio that are being influenced tonight, and they're not in the house of God. There are some people that are not in the will of God because they have been influenced where they are, who they're hanging out with, and what they're doing. I was going to spend some time talking about Paul's conversion from Saul to Paul, but I paused because that's a series in itself. But when you read Saul's conversion, this is not King Saul of the Old Testament. This is Saul of Tarsus. This is the one that was killing Christians, and then Jesus on the road to Damascus, God knocks him on his back. A bright shining light appears, and then God sends him to a street called Straight and says, for the next 3 days, you're not going to eat, you're not going to drink, and I'm going to take away your physical sight because I've got to show you some things. Can I pause just right here and tell you, I think it's awesome when God takes your physical sight away so he can show you something. He said, you've been running around acting crazy, killing Christians, condemning Christians, dragging Christians through the street, messing up Bible studies, running in the temple. You've been causing all of these problems. And he said, before I can trust you to write 2/3 of the New Testament, come on, church, before I can trust you to preach, before I can trust you to teach, before I can trust you to go, I need you to get alone with me for 3 days so I can influence you before you influence them. Wednesday night's important. Why? Because God is influencing you tonight because he wants you to be influential at your job tomorrow. He wants you to have a Jesus moment tonight so that you can provide Jesus moments tomorrow in the break room. It's the reason why it's not just a Wednesday thing, but a Thursday morning when you open up your Bible and have devotion with God and spend 8 minutes in prayer on your way to work. What are you saying? God, I am letting you influence me because I don't know what I'm getting ready to step into, but I do know this, that if I'm ready and you walk with me, it doesn't matter what I step into. I'm bringing your spirit. I'm bringing your peace. I'm bringing your understanding into this situation, and I will make this situation bow down to who you are. I'm going to influence it because I have been influenced. How many parents in the house have raised teenage kids so far? Any parents raised teenage kids? Have you ever heard them say a word that you know they didn't learn from you? And you say things like, who have you been hanging out with? What music have you been listening to? What movies have you been watching? You know that they're being influenced by an outside force. How many times has God heard believers talk and say, wait a minute, my word doesn't say that. You didn't hear that from me. That's not what the Spirit is saying. You're talking that negativity. I didn't say that. You're talking that craziness. I didn't say that. All that profanity didn't come from me. Who have you been listening to? He said, Saul, before you can create Christians, I need to influence you because you've been killing Christians. And they need to know And man, I wish I could preach it, but it's another sermon for another part of the year. Maybe we'll get to it this year. But when God calls the man to go and anoint Saul and pray for him, he says, I don't think I want to do this, God. He said, he kills people like me. He didn't believe it was true because of the influence that he had seen. But God said, that's why I've hidden him for 3 days. He hadn't eaten or drank anything because I want his undivided attention. God wants our undivided attention, but are you at a place where you can handle God's undivided attention and influence in your life? Three words, and I truly believe this for everybody in the room, whether I've known you for 5 months or 50 years, I want to encourage you with this phrase: you are influential. I know you don't have more than 100 followers on social media. You are influential. I know you stutter and stammer and you're very shy and you can't hold a microphone. You are influential. I know you don't think anybody outside of your classroom or your job knows you by name, but you are influential. I want to tell you that God wants to use you just like he used Paul. God wants to use you just like any of these famous TikTok preachers you see online today. You've got a voice. God has given you a testimony. God has brought you out of everything he has brought you out of, not just for you, but he wants you to tell the world. You are an influencer. You are influential. You have a story to tell. Start talking. Start telling. Jesus said in verse 13, you are the salt of the earth. But if a salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except be thrown and trampled underfoot. Remember, this is where Jesus is preaching the Sermon on the Mount and the Beatitudes. And Jesus, he could have used anything to illustrate who the disciples and what the disciples and followers were supposed to be like. But he uses two very ordinary items, church. Items that we use daily. Items that you can find in your household. He uses salt and light because salt and light are change agents. Write that down. Change agents defined are a catalyst for transformation. How many of you know the lack of salt can ruin a meal? You can have the best steak, the best potatoes, the best course in front of you, but if it lacks salt, it robs what you are eating of flavor. Something so small, something so ordinary, and check this out, something by itself no one really likes. But when you add salt to what is already there, it begins to flavor it, and something so small has a significant influence and impact on those things around it. Can I encourage you? You are a change agent for San Antonio. You are a catalyst for your family. You are a catalyst for the world. Without God, it is going to hell in a handbasket. But once you show up, you bring salt with you. You bring Jesus with you. And now what seemed unbearable is now you feel like they can now make it. A little salt changes the entire meal. A little lamp can cause light in an entire room. You know how I know that? Because you've got that 3,000 square foot house and you can light it up like Las Vegas Strip. But a couple days ago or last night when those storms came rolling through and the lights go out, you don't just sit there in the dark saying, well, I don't have all my lights, so it doesn't matter. You'll light the smallest little candle in your house. You'll turn on. Now we got them everywhere we go. We got our flashlight. It's not all the light that you want, but it gives you the light that you need. You say, how can I influence my world? You're not everything they want, but I promise you, you're everything they need. You say, I can't preach like so-and-so, and I'm not articulate like so-and-so. I want to encourage you, it's not you that changes it. It's the Jesus that you carry that changes, that salts, that lights, that transforms the situation. So when you say, oh, it's just me, hey, it's not just you. You are coming with all of the host of heavenly beings. Can I encourage you that when you say Jesus, all of heaven shows up to where you are. When you declare the name of Jesus, when you plead the blood of Jesus, when you pray, when you praise, when you declare who he is, it's not just you. It's all of heaven shows up. So the most ordinary things Jesus could have chosen, it's almost like he does it on purpose. He says, you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Write this down if you're taking notes. God uses the ordinary to influence. God uses the ordinary to influence. I find that to be great news because I'm ordinary. There is nothing special about me, but there is something so much greater in me. At the end of the day, our greatest qualities pale when we look at what this world needs and what this world is struggling with. That even if we brought our greatest to the table, it would not add much to most people's lives. But I am here to tell you, as an ordinary person, you are influenced. You are influential because of what you carry. You might be ordinary, but the God you carry is supernatural. He put this great, great treasure in an earthen vessel. It's like finding a diamond in a matchbox. It's like finding $1 million in an old clay pot. I might not look like much on the outside. I might be marred and scarred from my past. But can I tell you that what I carry on the inside, it brings fear to every demon in hell. What I carry and what you carry, it brings healing to the sick. It delivers those that are bound. It brings love to the most hardened places. Not me. I'm just ordinary. But God uses the ordinary to be influential because we carry the greatness of God. Jesus declares, you're the salt of the earth. You're the light of the world. He is talking to his disciples and followers. Remember, these are men and women that have left town to follow him into the dry desert places, and he is teaching and he is preaching. These are his disciples and his followers. These are not people that are just wanting to hear the message and then make a decision. Those people, they stayed in town when Jesus walked out. These are people who will follow Jesus even though they're uncomfortable in this moment because they are believers, followers, and lovers of Christ. They have followed him, and this is what Jesus says. You're the light, you're the salt of the earth, the light of the world. Remember, for the most part, this group was young, uneducated, poor, and powerless. And he tells that group, you're the salt and you're the light. He wasn't talking to the world's richest people. He wasn't talking to those that had the highest IQ. He wasn't talking to those that had a lot of experience and a lot of wisdom under their belt. He was talking to mostly young, uneducated, poor, and powerless people. But I love how that breaks down, because young tells me your age does not disqualify you from influence. If you're 95 years old, you are influential. You've got something to say. If you are 15 years old in this room, don't let anybody look down on you because of your age. You've got a testimony. God has done something great in you. And if he could use David, Esther, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, he can use you too. Age does not disqualify you. There's great advantages of being old. There's great advantages of being young. There's really good advantages of being middle-aged, praise God. See, when you're old, you have experience. When you're young, you have energy. When you're middle-aged, you have a little of both. But don't let somebody disqualify you. Don't let the enemy tell you your time is past or your time is not yet. Doesn't matter if you're 12, doesn't matter if you're 42, 82, or 102. If you are on this earth, God wants you to influence people that give ear to you what you have to say and what God has done in your life. Don't let anybody despise you. Don't let anybody discredit you. Don't let anybody disqualify you because of your age. And this is how I've always liked to think about it. God will never hold something against you that you didn't choose. I didn't choose how old I would be when I would be born. I was just born. I didn't choose that I would be a man. I was just born a man. I didn't choose that I was going to be born white. God chose my color. God will never hold my age against me. I didn't choose. God will never hold your race against you. You didn't choose. God will never hold anything that you didn't have to choose. He will never hold that against you. You're not too young. You're not too old. You're not too black. You're not too white. Come on now. You're not too, in a world where masculinity is being attacked, you're not too much of a man. We need men of God. I'm talking about 6'3", big muscle men, but I'm talking about 5'2" men. Don't be afraid to be a man. I don't care what the news says. I don't care what they say. I don't care what the woke crowd says. If you're a man, be a man. If you're a woman, be a woman. You don't get to choose. God chose it for you. You realize when they say, well, I might have been born a boy, but I identify as a girl, that is saying that God makes mistakes. He never makes mistakes. He said, I will not hold your age against you. You can be influential, uneducated. Your level of theological knowledge doesn't disqualify your influence. You say, well, I've only been saved for one day. What do I have to tell the world? Your salvation story. You say, well, I haven't been to Bible school. I've never been to seminary, and I haven't sat in a church for 15 years, and I don't know all of the ins and outs of baptism and speaking in tongues, and does God heal and doesn't he heal? I don't know all of those things. Yeah, but do you know Jesus? Yeah. Then tell them about Jesus. But I don't know all about Jesus that you do, but you know him as Savior. And 2/3 of this world do not know him as Savior. So preach Jesus as Savior until you meet him in another way. When we see this word poor, we think of money. But I want to take it a little deeper than that. What you lack doesn't disqualify your influence. Some of us have been guilty of saying things like, when this happens, I'll do this for God. When I make it through this season, if I can just get through the next 3 months. How many of you know, those of you that are planners and organizers, you find yourself saying this all year long. Once we get through May, it's going to slow down a little bit. Then you get to June. Well, once we get through July 4th, we do that around the office all the time. Once we get through Easter, things will slow down a little bit. And then we got VBS, and then we got Mother's Day, then we got Father's Day, then we got camp. Once we get through camp, and then we got to give 500 backpacks away. And once it never slows down. If you use what you have, what you don't have as an excuse, you'll never be influential. And remember, what are we wanting to hear God say when we get to heaven? Well done, thou good and faithful servant. If you want to be influential, serve. Serve. Read a great quote in one of the books I've read this year, and it says, statues are never erected for critics, only for those that do great things. You will never be remembered for excuses. You will never be remembered for your criticisms. You will never be remembered for what you didn't do. But you'll always be remembered for the impact, for the influence. Well, I don't have this, but you got your voice, you got air in your lungs, you can be influential. Well, if I had more of this, I understand that. But right where you are, start where you're at with what you have. And I believe God will favor that. This crowd was young, uneducated, poor, most of them. And most of them were powerless, which leads me to the fourth. Your lack of position doesn't disqualify your influence. When you look into the Word of God, David was the smallest, weakest of his brothers, yet God called him to be king. His influence was not dictated by his size, position, or power. Gideon came from the weakest tribe. And God said, Gideon, all I need is you and 300 men and a yes, and we can defeat tens of thousands of enemy. Your position or lack thereof does not disqualify your influence. So you and I should be encouraged with that, because at some point we are going to suffer from some of those, if not all of those. However, I am quick to point this out. Your age, education, financial status, and position, they can enhance your influence. If you think you're influential with $1,000, if you had $1,000,000, you could really be influential. If you think your position at Living Way makes you influential, if you would take that position outside of the four walls of this church, if you say, hey, listen, I'm not only a greeter at Living Way, I'm going to take that same attitude to my job. Come on now. You can smile and open a door here, and we're doing our best to train our greeters to go ahead and start preaching to you when you walk in the door. Hey, today is going to be a great day. Hey, God's going to do something great in your life. You realize you can do that every day of your life to someone, and you don't have to bring the name of Jesus quite into it unless you're feeling particularly bold in that moment. But tomorrow morning when you walk in, everybody else is going to have a frown on their face because it's not the weekend yet. But you can walk in saying, hey, guys, today is going to be that day. It's going to be a great day. It's going to be a productive day. Today could be the day we all get promotion. You could start. So you don't have to have those things to be influential, but the more that you have, the more influence you can have. You say, prove that. Because when we started this church, there was 6 people. I wasn't here yet. I wasn't born yet, but there was 6 with Bishop and Pastor Becky in their living room. How many of you know you can have influence with 6 people? But when God kept adding, people started giving. People started showing up. Fast forward 48 years, and here we are on a Wednesday night with the average attendance of a church in America on Sunday morning at 72 and dropping. We have hundreds on a Wednesday night. We have more influence now than we did 48 years later. I do not diminish our influence then, but I am so glad that God didn't keep it there. But the more we talked about Jesus, the more we press kingdom forward. God said, if that's how you're going to act, I'm going to add people to you. I'm going to widen the net for you. What you did 48 years ago, it'll be a drop in the bucket, because you're going to be able to do a year's worth of gospel preaching in one Wednesday night and on one Sunday morning. And I want you to grasp this thought tonight, that where you are and what you have, for right now, it's enough.